Hi, I'm Dr. Arthur Smith of the Seligman Medical Institute, or SMI, the foundation sponsoring this MindBody podcast series. SMI is devoted to research in mind-body medicine, and specifically evaluating the tension myositis syndrome, or TMS. This diagnosis for back pain and other disorders was first described by Dr. John Sarno, who has authored several books on this subject. TMS is a diagnosis that connects the mind and body in chronic pain. Please note that TMS can only be definitively diagnosed by a qualified physician. This podcast is not intended to serve as a substitute for proper medical advice or treatment. Today, we will be discussing some actual cases of chronic pain with two practitioners treating TMS in the Los Angeles area for over 10 years, David Schechter, a physician, and Donald Dubin, MFT, a psychotherapist. Patients' names have been changed for confidentiality.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. You know, I've had an opportunity to treat chronic pain for a number of years with the tension myositis syndrome diagnosis and methodology in appropriately selected patients, and I've continued to get outstanding results in people who have the diagnosis and are willing to approach their problem in this very different psychological, emotional way. And over the last 10 years of my work, I've had the opportunity to work with Donald Dubin, a psychotherapist who I believe is the outstanding therapist in this field, certainly in the Western United States. I'm pleased to have him with me today. We're going to try to discuss five examples of people we've treated together, and in discussing those examples, elaborate on some of the psychological issues and methods that we use. Let me remind you, tension myositis syndrome, or TMS, is a diagnosis for physical pain, often of the back, neck, headaches, arm pain, whose ultimate cause and trigger is emotional and psychological factors. So it's a true mind-body diagnosis. We're going to start with Jimmy, who's a businessman, quite well off in his field, and has been suffering for back and leg pain when he came to see me at my office in Beverly Hills. I diagnosed him as having TMS, and I felt that due to the severity and intensity of his symptoms and the intensity of his personality, that he would benefit from psychotherapy, and I referred him to Don Dubin for that TMS psychotherapy while I continued to follow him from the medical side. Don, can you tell me how the therapy went with Jimmy?
The therapy was very, very difficult. Jimmy is a very aggressive person and has been successful financially. And 10 years ago, his pain became so severe, he had to quit work, and he hasn't worked for 10 years. He has gone to the Mayo Clinic, he's gone to Johns Hopkins, and has tried everything in order to get himself out of the bed. He spent most of his time in bed. And so in coming to see Dr. Schechter, he drove from out of town, quite a ways out of town, and had somebody drive him because he couldn't drive himself. And I've seen him for about 6 months, and he is back working, and he feels that he's starting his life again.
You know, one aspect you mentioned is you've been seeing him for 6 months, but in fact, both you and I have had to continue our treatment with him over the telephone. And we have found that once a diagnosis is made in my office in Beverly Hills or Culver City, and once you've established that psychologist-patient relationship, that in people who do live out of town, we actually have had excellent success with treatment provided subsequently over the telephone. Of course, people, if they can, do come back for follow-up in the office as well. And what I've noticed with Jimmy is that initially he was depressed, he was using a lot of pain medication, and he really was very uncertain what he wanted to do with his life. And by going back in the therapy to some of the emotional issues from his childhood, and by also looking forward in his life as to what he wanted to do with his life now, rather than focusing on the pain, is what helped him, I think, to get better. Do you agree?
Yeah, he focused on his some of the factors in his early childhood that were quite traumatic, and sometimes these things coming in to talk to me, he didn't think that he had a traumatic childhood, but as we began to talk about it, he discovered things that he obviously ignored and were deep-seated feelings that he had always been trying to overcome with his success and his assertiveness in the world.
Don, what I think is interesting is that this patient and many of the patients we see have at one time or another in their life been in psychotherapy, but their pain hasn't gone away. And what's different here, and why I try to refer the patients that I see in my office to one of the psychotherapists in Los Angeles or in other cities that I know who specifically treat TMS, is because the TMS therapy is a different form of therapy, a different focus that helps the pain to go away. Do you have any comment on that in this example or others?
Yes, all of our sessions, we talk about the pain. We talk about what he's doing. We talk about the feelings that he feels the pain, and to understand when he feels the pain, to know that it is a issue that he has been ignoring from his child. He might subliminally be aware of it or not even be aware of it, but the interaction that we talk about between the significant and others in his early life bring to mind things that he wasn't aware of, and now he's starting to be aware of, and the awareness is the way that starts him to get back his life.
The next example is Richard. He works in the book publishing area, and he has back pain for many years. What's interesting about Richard is that in between these episodes of back pain, he's extremely active. He skis, he runs, he swims, he surfs, and he rides motorcycles. Yet when the back pain comes, it is excruciatingly disabling to him and totally consumes his life. He does have some wear and tear findings on his MRI and x-rays of his back, not unexpected for a man in his 40s who's been as active as Richard has. The reason Richard came to me and the reason that I was able to diagnose him as tension myositis syndrome was in part the fact that the pain seemed to always come on before certain stressful family trips and family situations, and he really noticed the psychological trigger for these pain episodes. What can you tell us about Richard and the therapy that you performed that's helped him to have these episodes much less frequently and less severely?
Richard is different from the previous one that we talked about. Richard has continued to work. He has a very, very high level job, and he works very, very hard at it. And interestingly enough, he doesn't have the pain while he works. He has the pain while he does athletic endeavors and family endeavors. So this is like a personal thing involved in interpersonal relationships and also in physical things that he's done. So he prepares himself for motorcycle riding by absolutely preparing for it, seeing that everything is ready, seeing that everything is prepared. So this is Richard is a perfectionist, and a perfectionist in everything that he's done. And he started to learn that his perfectionism is a surface manifestation for the need to be better than who he is. And this has been a tremendous understanding that he's, to a great deal, eliminated the pain through the understanding of the need to be a perfectionist.
So you're implying he doesn't really like himself as much as he should unless he's achieving or unless he's succeeding or unless he's moving forward.
That's right, absolutely true. He does bicycle ridings, he's a surfer, he's always going to surf before he wakes up 5:30 in the morning in order to go surfing, and then he goes to work, and while he's going to surf, he feels a pain in his arm and his back, and sometimes he feels a pain after he does these things. So that's part of his perfectionism. I didn't do it as good as I could have done it.
The next example is a gentleman named Jordan. And Jordan is in the business field, but his passion is playing the electric organ. He loves to practice it. And he came to me because of arm pain. And specifically, he had seen a number of other doctors, and one of the doctors diagnosed him as having an ulnar nerve problem in his arm. But none of these expert physicians, orthopedists, neurologists, etc., none of them felt that he needed surgery. And all of them felt he could improve with conservative treatment. But he began to become aware of some emotional issues related to the pain. He learned about tension myositis syndrome, perhaps from a book, a website, or a podcast, and he decided to come in and see if I would diagnose him with this. And Jordan had a very characteristic personality, a people pleaser, hard on himself, responsible. And I determined that, number one, he had TMS. He did not have significant ulnar nerve damage or anything of the sort. And I believed he had an RSI, repetitive strain overuse syndrome of the arm, that was ultimately a TMS problem. He began to improve with this diagnosis and with the home program that consisted of some CDs and a workbook. And I referred him to you, Don, to help him understand the personality factors that were driving his pain. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Jordan had arm pain. And we began to talk about the arm pain and how it was exhibited and when it was exhibited. It was exhibited when he was trying to play a very, very sophisticated piece of music, and he had to reach his fingers out and stretch them and to play a very, very complicated thing. And so as he got into more complicated physical manifestations of his organ playing, his arm tightened up. And so we connected to the fact that he was doing something at this particular time that he didn't feel that he was physically and mentally capable of doing. So he began to realize, again, he was trying, when he tried to stretch himself to be better than who he is, he has the pain. And his understanding that when he does some things now, maybe even not working, just psychologically with people, when he needs to be better than who he is, he has the pain. And this understanding and feeling the feelings of such, he's getting to have a relationship with the inside part of himself, and he's playing much better now than he's ever done.
Not only is he playing the piano better, but of course his goal was to get rid of the pain. And amazingly enough, for those of you not familiar with this diagnosis and treatment, he came in with physical pain. The treatment was educational and psychotherapy, and his physical pain dramatically improved. He was able to return to his activities, and he's enjoying life a tremendous amount more. In addition to that, unlike the conventional approaches to pain with medication, injections, etc., in addition to relief of pain, he's also learned a lot about himself, and it helps him in his relationship with his girlfriend, and it helps him in his business contacts, and it helps him in his life. I want to go on to the next person. Her name is Stephanie. She works in the radio field, and she came in with arm pain. And when I first saw her, she had been referred by a hand specialist for physical therapy, and she was about to embark on a long course of physical therapy. She was told 3 times a week she would probably need 3 months or more. This would have cost literally thousands of dollars. But when I examined her and reviewed her MRI examination, physical exam, history, etc., I determined that what she was suffering from was tension myositis syndrome. I believed that due to the severity of her symptoms and the fact that she was going to potentially be going into all this physical therapy, that she needed an intensive program. And in her case, I began to see her weekly as well as referring her to Don for weekly psychotherapy. We provided a two-sided punch, so to speak, with the medical reinforcement of her diagnosis, the brief counseling that I provide in the office, and the in-depth psychotherapy that Don provides. And over the course of several months, her pain went away. Within a week or two, she stopped the physical therapy and is very pleased with the whole process, including she's not drinking as much alcohol as she used to, which was something of a problem for her. Would you comment on her?
She had a very, very severe history of having, just to say briefly, some operations that were very, very severe, and she thought that she was physically debilitated and was always going to be physically debilitated and go from one operation to the other, and became very, very desperate. And fortunately, I don't know how she got to see Dr. Schechter, but she saw Dr. Schechter and said, well, I've tried everything, and maybe this is what it is. And as she began to realize that some of the operations that she might have had might have been unnecessary, and this is an actuality as far as she was concerned.
One other issue with Stephanie was her ability and willingness to commit to the program. I found this as soon as she determined that she was ready to invest the time and money to be in the intensive program, the weekly program that we set her up with, she seemed to improve almost immediately. So there was a shift in her mindset from the idea of being a victim to the idea of being someone who wouldn't get better and was destined to be treated with more physical therapy, maybe eventually have surgery, to the idea that she could take control of this and be empowered by an educational, psychological approach, that seemed to make a huge difference with her. The final person we're going to discuss is William. Now, he is a professional musician who plays the cello and does quite well in orchestras and the like. He came into us not with primarily a musculoskeletal problem, which certainly is the vast majority of people we see are with back pain, arm pain, leg pain, headaches, neck pain, etc. He came in with dry eyes. And he was very intrigued about the possibility that stress and the mind-body connection could be related to his dry eyes. He had had a thorough ophthalmological workup. And of course, I always believe that a specialist in that field, if it is not in fact my specialty, should see somebody and make sure there's nothing structurally or biochemically wrong with the person. And nothing was found to be much the problem. There was no autoimmune disease and the like. And he was basically advised to use eye drops. And he was curious to use this approach. Why don't you discuss what you found in terms of William?
William was a successful musician, and he had studied in New York City in one of the primary musical schools and was very, very successful as a student and graduated with high honors. And he had trouble with his eyes. And we started to talk about the fact that reading music and learning how to read music and act at a high-level professional way, he was having trouble seeing the music and being able to read the music and to receive it inside of him and play himself. The dry eyes were similar to something like a back pain that stops people from doing the work that they were doing. So his dry eyes was stopping him from doing the work that he was doing.
And I think there was a little bit of ambivalence on his part, because although his professional life was going very well, there were some issues with the family and there was some insecurity about his social life and dating and those kinds of things. And sometimes we find that when a patient's having a symptom in relation to a particular activity or in relation to stress at work or whatever, the symptom, the physical symptom, is sending them a message. And the message is, you need to change your life, or you need to look at your work differently, or you need to reevaluate your relationships. And these are the drives that cause the symptoms that other people don't listen to, other than the TMS-oriented doctors and psychologists. And if you don't listen to the patient, you don't help them to learn what they need to learn from that symptom.
He was trying to change his life. Part of the work that we do is not to change your life, is to understand your life and to understand the depth of your life. And people that continually try to change their life are forced into a fight within themselves. And what we try to do is deal with self-acceptance, so you don't fight to change yourself. He's working to understand himself, not to change who he is. And this is a big thing as far as learning to get rid of pain.
Don, as usual, it's a pleasure talking to you about TMS and about these individual patients. I again remind those who have listened that all the names and professions and cities of origin have been changed from these individuals. Only the area of pain and the essence of the story are, of course, all truthful historical patients that we have seen. But we would never reveal a patient's name or give you the identifying characteristics thereof. And I want to thank you very much for coming today.
One of the things that we find that once the people get rid of the pain, they come in saying, I want to get rid of the pain, I hate the pain. And when they finished, they begin to really appreciate the fact that they had the pain, because through the pain and the interaction with us, they've learned more about themselves and they really have expanded their lives.
Don, I think your sincerity and enthusiasm in this area clearly come across in this podcast. And thanks very much again for doing this with me.
Thanks, Dr. Schechter and Don, for this very practical and informative discussion of pain, TMS, and psychology. Also, thanks to you, our listeners. You can give us feedback on this program by visiting www.smi-mindbodyresearch.org and emailing myself or Dr. Schechter. Dr. Schechter's website on TMS is www.mindbodymedicine.com. This is Art Smith for the Seligman Medical Institute. Thanks for listening.